Chase Elliott finds his way back to Victory Lane at Echo Park Speedway.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
The in-season tournament barely makes it out of round one, and NASCAR heads to the nation's second city, maybe for the last time. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Chase Elliott returns home and does well at Echo Park Speedway as he picks up his first victory of the 2025 season. He was going to the playoffs anyway, but now it is solidified. Welcome to the show, Doug Rice and Alexis Erickson in studio. Brad Gilley joining us fresh off of his trip to Hampton, Georgia for this weekend's festivities in the NASCAR Xfinity and Cup Series. And Alexis, all is well with the world. NASCAR's favorite driver back in Victory Lane after craziness at Echo Park.
Craziness. I'm not even sure that can, like, justifiably sum up what we saw on Saturday night in Atlanta. You know, great racing. I think that obviously that track has come into its own since being reconfigured and is producing some of the best, if not the best, racing that we see on the circuit right now. Huge, huge wreck right in the beginning of stage two that completely changed the complexion of the race. Chase Elliott was able to avoid that, survive, make it all the way to the end, and get the victory with the help of his teammate, Alex Bowman. And yes, all is well in Georgia now that their favorite son has won in 2025.
We'll get into the in-season challenge later on in the show, but Brad Gilley, how much rejoicing is this in the ranks of NASCAR that a guy that has so much fan support now has kind of paid off a little bit of that this year?
Yeah, I think you need your most popular driver to win. And I think you need your most popular driver to be competitive. That gives these fans something to cheer for. And I know it was his home track, and that in and of itself is a big thing. But obviously he's popular everywhere he goes. I thought one of the best things, it wasn't just watching the finish of the race. It was watching how competitive Chase Elliott was throughout the race. Even before that big wreck, he and Alex Bowman, they were working their way up through the field in a field that started with eight Fords in the top 10. They were working their way up, and they were going to be competitive. You saw that already. And then all throughout the night, Chase Elliott just continually, he led nine different times, the second highest number of laps led. But to see the crowd on their feet, this is truly a race. I know you can have the hyperbole and say, you know, you don't buy a ticket to sit somewhere, you buy a ticket for a place to stand. That's what Echo Park Speedway turned into on Saturday night.
Very, very dramatic finish. By the way, it's out there on the interweb. You can go and watch the video with the PRN audio call laid on top of it. And I felt like this might have been the most impressive win in some ways Chase Elliott's had, with the move that he had to make with a lap and a half to go, Alexis, and get up there and pass a bunch of people. Yeah, he had Alex Bowman helping him, but it was not one where, okay, he's got the best car, he can just drive away from the field.
Yeah, I think the thing that was really cool about it, too, is when you think about Atlanta Motor Speedway, Echo Park Speedway, now, the way that this racing is, because it is super speedway racing on a much smaller package, you don't need somebody behind you. I mean, you do, but you don't. Like, you can get a run, you can do that, you can do some racing, you can mix it up. Handling matters, and he was able to do that. He clearly had a very good car, and he was able to pass cars to make the moves that he needed to make and get some help from his teammate to eventually go on and win. But I think that in itself is a product of what this racetrack produces and the racing that we saw, which was fantastic.
Let's hear from Chase Elliott after he got his 20th career victory.
For me, you know, satisfaction and showing up on a weekend is, you know, were we relevant, or were we in contention? Did we actually have a shot? You know, were we up there with pace and doing the right things? Because I believe that in this sport, if you're doing all those right things, A, that's something to be proud of, and B, if you're doing them regularly, you're going to get your turn.
So apparently they threw Chase Elliott in jail after he
won. I was going to say, that had a very dramatic feel to it, that audio.
I think that's accompanied with video of Chase holding up a newspaper with the date on it.
Yeah, so. Potentially.
Hostage film. Brad Keselowski had a really good day going. He's a guy that would have to win to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, the 9-48 were able to get together, and when they linked up, it was kind of a two-on-one, Lee, and there was not much I could do. So I wish I had my teammates back. I lost the 17. He fell out of the top group there, and when that happened, it was just a dogfight.
Ah, yes, the beloved 17. That would be Chris Buescher for those of you scoring at home. Anyway, that's Brad K. Brad, Gilly had to feel a little bit for this guy because the only way he makes it to the promised land of the playoffs is to get a win now.
I do feel for him. I admire just how, you know, okay he was with it, and maybe that's a wrong way to phrase it, but, you know, he was like, hey, look, we had a shot. I think I would feel more for him if it wasn't the fact that every single person he was racing had not yet won this year. You know, if Brad Kay at the end was going up against Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell and William Byron and Denny Hamlin and so on and so forth, you think, oh, man, here's the one guy who hasn't won this year and he's trying to win. Everyone in like the top 15 were looking for their first win of the season, and Chase Elliott got it. But yeah, for Brad, this was probably his best opportunity to date to get that victory.
And the reason why is because the Christopher Bells and Denny Hamlins and Kyle Larsons were all, well, Kyle Larson was still in the race, but most
technically,
but most of everybody else was at home on their couch because of that big wreck in the beginning of stage two.
Now, when you have a 23 car accident and half of those cars are done.
And a lot of them were big players.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get into the whole bracket-busting nature of that huge wreck. But it did make it interesting for me in the sense that you knew, somebody knew was going to win.
Yeah, I think there was somebody had mentioned, like, right after that wreck had happened and you guys went back racing, in the top 20, there was only one winner in that top 20, and that was Shane Van Gisbergen, and that was running in the top 20 at that point. So you knew, I mean, I knew pretty much as soon as that, you know, crash happened that changed the complexion of the race, we were going to have another new winner.
Well, all the winners from Team Penske were gone. Josh Berry wound up finishing 32nd. Austin Cindric was 38th. Ryan Blaney was 40th. And Joey Logano was 36th. Brad, that's almost not worth showing up at the racetrack for.
Yeah, and Blaney actually got taken out before the big stage two wreck. So he was already out of the race, unfortunate for him. But, you know, it's crazy to think that the cars that come out of the Team Penske shop, Joey Logano on the pole, Josh Berry with Wood Brothers on the outside pole, then you had Ryan Blaney and Austin Cindric lining up on the second row. They had the top four spots starting the race. They almost had the bottom four spots finishing the race. Not quite, but still close enough. They all made an early exit. And, you know, an opportunity weekend for them kind of just went poof into the thin air.
Alexis Blaney has a win this year, so he's going to make it to the playoffs. He also has six DNFs.
I know. It's kind of crazy when you think
about that. So that's like a third of the races this year. Ryan Blaney has not been around at the end. If I'm a Blaniac, am I worried right now that the numbers are working against my guy?
I don't think so. And the reason why is because we have seen in years past, once that playoff starts, there's something in Team Penske that kind of flips a switch. Not that they aren't trying hard in the regular season, because they absolutely are. But when that playoff starts, Team Penske just like hits another level, and it's why they have won the last three championships. And so I don't know if that's something I would be worried about at this point right now. But yeah, it is a bit of a jarring statistic.
Brad, should you be worried that this carries over? Also, that bug has bitten Bubba Wallace. He has six DNFs too.
Yeah, he does. Saturday night was a rough one for him. I wouldn't be. To Alexis' point, Team Penske has figured it out. They have hacked the plan of what you need to do to win a championship. And my gosh, after winning the last three in a row, one would think that all of the other organizations would go, oh, hey, the championship's won at Phoenix. Maybe we should focus on that. Team Penske's got it figured out.
All right, let's see if that plays out this year. A little bit of a detour on the way to the title, though. Time now for our Toyota Performance Report from Echo Park Speedway in Hampton, Georgia. Tyler Reddick, the top finishing Toyota. He was fourth, fifth. Your boy, Eric Jones, Brad Gilley, what's going on there? This is three in a row inside the top six.
That's right, Legacy. They're up there right now. Really, it's like they flipped the switch at Texas or Charlotte with both cars up there in the top 10. I think it was Texas, and has just continued on week after week after week for them.
So Ty Gibbs was 14th, 22nd to Bubba Wallace, John Hunter Nemechek, 26th. Riley Herbst, 28th, 30th, C. Bell, Denny Hamlin, 31st, and rounding up the field for the Toyotas, last week's winner, Chase Briscoe, was 35th. That is your Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com.
This is a Camry. This is a Camry on NASCAR. This is a Camry on NASCAR with Ty Gibbs behind the wheel. Now you're up to speed. You in? Follow the action at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Our planet is home to some of the most amazing creatures you could ever imagine, from the biggest bears to the smallest birds and everything in between. If we want our kids and their kids to experience the magic of wildlife that we have today, it's on us to step it up and take action. You can make a difference. Learn more about wildlife conservation in your area and how you can help. This is Eli Wenders. Let's make sure our wildlife is around for generations to come. Y'all take care of the earth and it'll take care of us. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The speed, the drama, the only NASCAR race in California. The Toyota Save Mart 350 NASCAR Weekend rolls into Sonoma Raceway July 11th through 13th. 3 days of high-speed thrills, edge-of-your-seat action, and family fun in the heart of wine country. Bring the whole family. Kids tickets start at just $10. Don't miss NASCAR's biggest stars battling for victory. Get your tickets now at SonomaRaceway.com. This is NASCAR. This is California. This is Sonoma.
Race in Hampton, Georgia at Echo Park Speedway marked the debut of the NASCAR In-Season Challenge. I'm going to make Alexis sit on this for a minute because I know she has strong opinions. And in the long run, this thing doesn't mean anything unless you're a degenerate gambler and you've bet your house on this outcome of the tournament. Or if you're the driver that happens to win the $1 million. And Brad Gilley, the likely suspects are pretty much all gone and obliterated by that 23-car wreck.
Yeah, my bracket had Denny Hamlin going head-to-head with William Byron at the Brickyard 400 and Byron winning it all. Well, that's not going to happen. So my bracket is completely gone right now. I have a couple of people who advanced to the next round, like I think Tyler Reddick did and Ty Gibbs and Chase Elliott, but that's it. Poof, it's gone.
I had a handful making it out just about like everyone else. Do you think, and I think we would know by now if there was still a perfect bracket left. I can't imagine there is.
I think no.
There can't be.
I will argue this. This has really zero impact on things. But I like the fact that it existed. I know you don't think it should have started, Alexis, at Atlanta, but I'm glad it was around. All of a sudden, it was conversation that was kind of fun, but didn't really mean anything. It's like junk food.
Yeah, I mean, like the spirit of this, right, is head-to-head. Everybody going head-to-head. moving on if they're the better race car driver. That is not what happened Saturday night in Atlanta. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the racing that I saw at Atlanta. It was extremely thrilling. I think that is one of our best speedways. But for this, in the spirit of what this is, I do not think that it should have started at Atlanta Motor Speedway, because now you have almost every single big name driver out of it. Yes, you still have Chase Elliott. He was obviously able to win the race and move on in his bracket, and he is the most popular driver. So at least we still have that. However, you think about all the fans that were pulling for their specific driver, most of them gone, no longer involved in this. So I just think that if we could have it maybe at some more intermediate style tracks, even the road courses that we have coming up are not going to produce the kind of like one foul swoop that knocks out half of the, you know, half of the big name drivers.
Brad Gilley.
Well, look, here's the deal. Okay, so Chase Elliott, I'm sitting here looking at the quadrant that he's in the bracket. There's a pretty clear path where Chase Elliott could be fighting for that million-dollar prize at the Brickyard. This week, he's going to go up against John Hunter Nemechek. Now, I realize John Hunter had a sixth-place finish in Mexico City. Chase Elliott was on the podium, however. The next week, he could go up between the winner of Eric Jones and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. At Sonoma Raceway. And with no disrespect to either of those two drivers, Chase Elliott's pretty good there, including in this generation of race car. And then he would go up against the person in the top quadrant, but I don't even know who's left there. I mean, you got Ty Dillon, who beat Denny Hamlin. Kieslowski's up there, you know, some other folks. So that might be the one saving grace, you know, to continue to lift up and promote the bracket. To Alexa's point, you know, you would hope that you'd have, as it whittles down, some of the popular drivers, the ones who sell the most souvenirs, battling head-to-head against each other, but it's going to be tough to get there.
It could be interesting if Elliott finds his way up against Bowman, which could potentially happen in the way that this bracket is filled out. That could, you know, that could certainly you know, bring some interest. But I don't know. I just feel like, you know, our sport is so defined by who you follow and who your favorite driver is. Maybe this will make somebody else your favorite driver.
I was just getting ready to say, but let somebody else get whatever little limelight is out of this.
I just feel like the interest in it might wane a little bit with all of your superstars, most of your superstars on the sideline. That's all I'm saying.
I get that, but I'm, you know, all of a sudden now I have a reason to be a Zane Smith fan.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't before. Sorry about that, Zane. I know.
That's okay. He was a lucky dog.
But I'm okay with this. I think it's going to provide intrigue. But I get where you're saying that a lot of your number one seeds, you know, they're not in this anymore.
Yeah. I want it to be head-to-head on talent. And maybe a tiny little bit of luck, because that's what racing is, but not what we saw Saturday night.
But this is most compared to the NCAAs.
Mm-hmm.
People rejoice when a 16 seed, I think it's only happened twice, takes out a one. Virginia one year got knocked out as the number one seed overall in the tournament by a 16th seed.
Yeah, and it's because that 16th seed goes in and plays them and beats them fair and square. It doesn't have somebody come in and, like, Nancy Kerrigan their legs out from under them, you
but
know?
That reference might
be a little old for some people, but, you know?
But not every number one seed in an NCAA tournament gets taken out in the first round, like it happens to one of them, you know,
right?
Exactly.
Well, I hope they continue this.
I would agree.
Maybe it got off to a rocky start, but the fact that it gave us something else at a time of the year when we're just kind of chugging to the playoffs and we could sink our teeth into this.
We're talking about it now.
Yeah,
so
we're still talking about it. Wow. You still have this potential. Somebody out there has this matchup in the finals. You could find Chase Elliott against Chris Buescher in the finals.
I could see that. I've seen people with Buescher in their final round.
Yep.
And he's got a very clear pathway with two road courses in a row. Get through Dover, and next thing you know, you're right there at the Brickyard for the finale.
I like it when you use that terminology, pathway. That reminds me of people predicting election results? Well, you know, if win the Illinois caucus, there's a pathway for you to get the nomination.
Yeah, we should take a poll. Oh, wait, we see how accurate those actually
are.
Yeah,
that doesn't work. Right. Well. But I out there somewhere in the hinterlands, and if you're that person, let us know about it. Reach out to us on one of the social media platforms. You have to have evidence, though, that you did this ahead of time.
Right, right.
That shows you with Chase Elliott versus Chris Buescher for the title. That exists. Mm-hmm. The rest of them, no, there's no perfect bracket, but somebody out there's got that. So we'll see how all that plays out. Hey, there was a new TV partner in town. TNT showed up. Did they boom or fizzle? We'll talk about that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
NASCAR also entered a new era, not just with the in-season challenge, but they had a new television partner this past weekend that debuted their five-race coverage at Atlanta in Echo Park Speedway, and that was TNT, an old friend of NASCAR that hadn't been around for 10 years. And Alexis, I know we're on the radio side, but so much of what we take in any given sport comes through the television. And thoughts about TNT coming back?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, first of all, having them come back is great. It's always great to get another broadcast partner on the circuit. But I think that probably people didn't notice that big of a difference because you had the same booth that you had with Amazon Prime, which was fantastic, I thought, with Steve and Dale and Adam. You had a few new pit reporters. Obviously, we're partial to Alan Kavanagh, who was on pit road for TNT this weekend and will be for the next 4 weeks because he's a part of our team here at the Performance Racing Network. And I thought he did a great job. Friend of the network, Danielle Trotta. I thought she did a fantastic job. It was great to see Shannon Spake back at a desk. She did the pre and post race coverage. And so I enjoyed it. I think maybe, you know, the one thing that fans might have found a little bit jarring is that with Amazon Prime, there was extended coverage that they were able to do because of the fact that they didn't have to be off for any specific thing. There were a lot more side-by-side commercials with Prime. There weren't big full-screen commercials. They did some side-by-side with TNT, but there were other full-screen commercials. So that was just a little bit different. But other than that, I thought their coverage was great, and we'll see how it continues the next 4 weeks.
I do think you're spot on because the vast majority of the broadcast is the booth.
Yep.
Same three characters that we just took through the prime section of the year. And Brad, I know you were at the racetrack calling it on PRN, and I'll admit I had both audio channels in my ear for most of the race, listening to you guys and then doing this. But I feel like it was a step in the right direction to incorporate another media group.
Yeah, I like the fresh ideas that have come in, you know, with the Amazon Prime section of what we saw. And remember, the Amazon Prime portion actually went for a while because they had been covering practice and qualifying. But the five races that they had for the Cup races, I feel like they set a new bar. They set a bar much higher than what it was. And I feel like all the other networks, you know, have to and should look at that and say, okay, this was very popular with the viewing public. We had ratings that were up in very key demographics from 18 to 34 to 18 to 54 and so on and so forth. And that was with streaming. That was not traditional over the air or cable television broadcast. I think that says a lot as well. And now for TNT to come in, to Alexis's point, one of the genius things that they did there is keep the same booth. I'm a big fan of Adam Alexander, big fan of Steve Letarte. Dale Earnhardt Jr. has a way of talking about this sport that really no one else can, and it's very refreshing to hear that and the way they put things together. So I think everything that they've assembled is very solid, and I think that's a great thing because now we have a bar that was set up here with Prime. TNT should now set the bar higher. When NBC comes in, ideally they'll continue to move the bar up, but you have to look outside the box and come up with some fresh ideas, and I think that they've done that.
It was nice to see Marty Schneider. He's such a pro and
yeah.
so smooth.
Yep.
And there was a shot in the race where he's literally inside the garage at Atlanta. And it looked like a garage pre-race because there were so many teams in there working on it. And I thought that was very artistically done. I know maybe that artistry wasn't what they were going for, but it looked good. I'll echo what you said. Great to see Alan Kavanagh back on television. And Danielle Trotter, that was her pit debut.
I thought she did a great job.
I thought she crushed it, and she had never been in that role before. So good on them. I'm playing junior TV critic here. I like mixing things up a little bit. I like fresh perspective. They did do an elongated post-race show.
Yeah.
Much more than just let's get two people on and then run out of the building. And that seemed to be, and this is purely anecdotal, the number one thing that people loved about the Prime coverage
yeah.
was the fact that as soon as the race was over, they didn't just put up a slate and say goodnight.
Sure, sure. And I hope that that can continue. You know, obviously, Echo Park Speedway this past weekend was a night race, and so I don't know what programming maybe they butted up to at, I don't know, 11:30, 12 o'clock in the morning, potentially. Hopefully, they're still able to do that when we finish afternoon racing in Chicago and Sonoma and Dover.
But
we'll see.
I'm going to go ahead and advocate this. That's fine if you want to watch the pre-race show, but Brad Gilley usually hosts the post-race show over on
Thank
Sirius.
Thank you. But look,
I don't want everybody just abandoning our
main man, Brad Gilley, here. Hey, look, we've had it figured out.
And
there are plenty of people that are going up and down the road, and we'll still tune into that. But look, if you're TNT, I don't know what else they show, but what else are you going to put on there that's going to average a million viewers each week? That's what Amazon Prime was getting on their streaming for the post-race portion of what they were doing.
Yeah, you're not
getting a big number.
Yeah, you're not getting that with reruns of Matlock. I have no idea
Thank
what
you.
TNT
They have other on. Sports, though.
Yeah,
so, and I don't know.
Big in the wrestling world.
Yeah, so I don't know. That would be the
she
only
said
thing.
Sports.
That would be the only
it's
thing
entertainment.
That I would think would potentially, you know, Trump a post-race show would be, you know, another sport that they are
so,
set to broadcast.
Yeah. One thing you need to pay attention to when the ratings come out, and usually it's on Tuesday, and there's a big number, 2.1 or whatever that number is. The beauty number in there is the embed of the demo, as
yeah.
they call it.
Yeah.
18 to 34. Brad alluded to that a moment ago. That is where Prime gained.
Yes.
They brought in, and that's
massively.
That's where the advertisers are looking at. I don't know why they don't pay attention to the old people. We got all the money. But
yeah,
anyway.
I was going to say, we have. Yeah, I'm on the top end of that 18 to 54.
Yeah.
And we have purchasing power.
Yeah, 18 to 34, most of them are living at home with their parents. But that's another story. So Alexis is looking at me. If you
well,
can
I'm
see
just thinking, are you guys as influenceable with your funds as somebody that's 18?
Way.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
I'm going to spend my money.
Therein lies the, yeah.
Those people are young and they're persuadable.
Exactly.
Is that a word?
persuadable.
Yes,
sure.
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
I feel good about that.
I like
All
that.
Right. The street course at Chicago. Are we done? We'll talk about that next. Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name. Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit speedwaycharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Time now for NASCAR to pack up and head back to the Windy City and have the street course race at Chicago. Of course, that is where we all learned how to pronounce Shane Van Gisbergen when he won in year one.
Otherwise known as the Second City.
Yes, the Second City.
I learned that today, folks.
Yeah. You didn't know it was the Second City?
I didn't. When I heard Doug do the open, I said, why is it the Second City? And he Googled it for me. Yeah. Tell everybody why it's the Second City, Doug.
Well, a lot of it is, it was done fresh.
Yeah.
New York was already,
It
burned to the ground. They brought it back. It's the Second City.
The more you know.
So we're back in Chicago. I personally am a big fan of that race.
Yeah.
I love the look of it, Alexis. Just everything about it works for me. I just hope that this year, which apparently is going to be the last year for it, that they get the right weather and we're not up there battling monsoonal rains and all that kind of problem. And we get to take in the beauty that is Chicago. You and I have spent a good bit of time there.
We have.
And watch it play out without being encumbered by rain.
Oh, my gosh. I agree so much. Being on 4th of July weekend, Independence weekend, the look, the feel of it, you're exactly right. It's what I consider to be an awesome event and has been, even with the trials and tribulations of the weather and everything else that they have faced. But there are some rumors that potentially NASCAR is looking at other markets to hold street races and that this could potentially be the last year of it. So if that is the case, I do hope that they get, a clean, weather-free race weekend and we see some good racing, and I think we will.
Brad, do you feel like NASCAR proved its point that we can go street course racing?
Yes. Yeah. And for many years you would talk about, boy, wouldn't it be cool if we did a street race, or wouldn't it be cool if we do that? And the why we can't people are quick to say, you can't put these big stock cars on this, or you can't put them on that. I always thought, well, you put them on this track, you put them on that track, why can't you put them anywhere? But I think that is the point that was proven, is that you could put them anywhere. And truthfully, I still feel that Marcus Smith paved the way by creating the Roval, because this is an event that at first there were a lot of naysayers from within the garage and places like that, and all of a sudden it turned out to be just a spectacular event year in and year out. Then they go to downtown Los Angeles to race inside the Los Angeles Coliseum. You know, we were at Bowman Gray Stadium, streets of Chicago. I, you know, heck, you could put cones in a parking lot, and I think we would see a great race with NASCAR. And I think this has definitely proven that.
Brad, do you have thoughts on now that it looks like we're done with Chicago? Is there a city or cities that you would like to see NASCAR try this again?
You know, Alexis brought up the rumors, and those are San Diego right now. I think that would be great. I know a lot of people say, hey, what about the streets of Long Beach? IndyCar races there. Truthfully, I kind of like that as an IndyCar event. I've loved that as an open wheel event for many decades now. You know, Montreal is another place that's talked about, not necessarily on a street course, but, you know, up on the road course there. So I'm open for anything. Like, you know, something new and fresh is going to create a very exciting event. And if you're going to race in San Diego for the first time, that's going to bring people out. That energy, you know, comes over the broadcast, be it the radio or the television broadcast. So wherever they decide to race, I think is going to be a really cool, fun place.
I don't know how much weight it holds, but I did see a story or a tweet or something where somebody had mentioned potentially the streets of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And there was a politician or somebody from Pennsylvania that was like, look, we don't want to really take fans away from Pocono, but to us, if there's more racing in you know, in our great state, then that's a plus. So that could be interesting too.
I don't know that people are going to say, well, if they're racing in Philly, I'm not going to go to Pocono.
Right.
I don't, those two things don't match. I would love that. Get down and race by the Rocky statue.
I mean, there is so much history in Philadelphia that could be a fantastic backdrop to a NASCAR race.
What, turn 11 is like the Liberty Bell?
I mean, I'll seriously.
Could you ring the bell in Victory Lane?
Seriously, there really is. The backdrops that could produce would be fantastic.
I like that idea. Some of the cities that have popped into my head are kind of taken out because they also have a track. I don't want to have a track lose to a city course. And I know it will never happen. I would love to see D.C.
Yeah.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Could be, that, again, history, you know, as a backdrop. Absolutely.
Look, my idea, Walt Disney World in Orlando or Disneyland. Imagine racing around Cinderella's castle. I'm just saying. They have a parade route. Just make it a racetrack. How amazing would that be?
That would lower your demo significantly, I think, if you're racing around.
Their crowds are destination.
Their crowds are down a lot this year anyway, so maybe they might welcome it, you know.
That's true.
Be cheaper to buy a race ticket than it is to get in the park. I digress, but I'm glad NASCAR pulled this experiment off.
Yeah.
Because it does open up. And I think I heard Steve Phelps say this, and I've been advocating this for a long time, that we have seen the last racetrack built, purpose built. You ever see that, Alexis, coming back? Will anybody ever build another Charlotte Motor Speedway, Kansas, Texas?
I don't think so, because there's no need to. I mean, with what we have available to us in already fabulous facilities, plus the opportunities to go and race and, you know, these other destinations that we could, you know, build a course and then take it down in the same time, you know, in the matter of, you know, a couple weeks or months or whatever. I'm not sure that capital expenditure is something that somebody's going to want to take on.
I don't think you could make the money back. Carson Hocevar was wandering around in the weeds at Chicagoland, Brad. Why is he doing that?
At Chicagoland, is this like something he was doing on his own?
Yeah, he was showing videos and
for clicks,
shorts.
Doug, for clicks. That's why he was doing it.
Hey, look, again, it's not really a big secret out there that there is great potential that we still continue to race in the Chicagoland area, and they have a nice speedway down there in Joliet. So the potential for that to make it onto the schedule, but then all of a sudden you start filling up the schedule saying, well, if we replace Chicago with San Diego, what are we going to do, take away to go to Chicagoland? But I think the wind is blowing pretty firmly in the direction that Chicago somehow, some way still stays on the schedule.
Yeah, the other argument about not building tracks is you've got two right now that are sitting there not being used. Kentucky Speedway.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think they're parking FedEx trucks.
Not being used for racing.
No.
Well, I was going to say, when you think about the kind of racing that Kentucky could produce right now with this next-gen car.
Right.
Pretty good with the last gen car too.
Well, yes, absolutely. But I mean, when you think about, you know, the tracks that aren't performing so well with this car and the tracks that are, that would be one that would, you know,
I have a hard time just envisioning anybody that has disposable income that says, let's build a racetrack on the hopes that NASCAR might give you a race. And if you're just going to get one.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could make that viable.
If NASCAR is not making the investment themselves, a la California Speedway, which they said they were going to, and it just continues to sit there while pieces of it are sold off for Amazon warehouses, then why would anybody else want to invest that money in a new racetrack if NASCAR doesn't even feel like it's viable for them right now?
Brad, you think we've broken the last ground on a new track?
I don't, because there are a lot of different opportunities for multi-use facilities out there, with the racetrack being the feature of that. And when you start to look at a city who might not have a professional sport or might not have something like that, now all of a sudden you get public-private funding in the way that stadiums and arenas are built for football teams and for baseball teams and so on and so forth. So I think there's a great opportunity, actually, especially with the popularity of the sport continuing to grow, for someone to raise their hand and say, we want that here, and we know what it does for a community. And you look at racetracks that literally were built where nothing was. Kansas Speedway, Texas Motor Speedway, just two examples right now. And you look at how much has grown up around those speedways and what it has done for the community in which it sits. I think that's a big deal. There's a reason why, up at Bowman Gray Stadium, they want a five-year commitment from NASCAR to give some public money, $500,000 to build a scoreboard and things like that. So I think potential is actually there, not just for a just NASCAR track, but for a multi-use facility with NASCAR being part of it.
All right. I love your optimism there. I expected nothing
forever
less.
The optimist, Brad.
I expected
Gilley.
The sun
never
to
say
shine.
Never.
Never. Never
just
surrender.
Just like Ian Fleming wrote.
No. What is that? That's in Galaxy Quest. Never give never, up. Never surrender.
Never give up. Yeah. I like that. That works.
All right. When we come back, time for a little green flag, black flag action.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Welcome to the land of the free, where we pledge allegiance to the flag, salute racing's rich history, and raise a drink to the new gladiators who dare take on the last great Coliseum. The Bass Pro Shops Night Race NASCAR Playoff Weekend returns to Bristol Motor Speedway September 11th through the 13th. Get a weekend package and a camping spot and make it a weekend to remember. It's not just the night race, it's Bristol, baby.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
A NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
They established the Hall of Fame. First two people that get in, besides your dad, is Bill France Sr. and yep. Bill Jr. Your time behind the wheel overlapped with Bill Jr., didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, for sure. For sure. I was called to the truck many times while Bill Jr. was in there. But you know what? What I remember about Bill Jr. as much as anything was being a kid and him sitting and talking to my dad or talking to my granddad. And Bill Sr. would be in some of those conversations, but you'd sit down at the racetrack and they would talk about where the sport was and where the sport was going. Bill was never satisfied with where the sport was. And that is the one thing that I came to admire about him. At the time, I didn't. At the time, I didn't appreciate it as much. But, you know, I'll never forget, we were doing some stuff and I was driving for Felix and I was called to the truck and I was reminded gently by Bill France Jr. that this was his sport. And if I would like to participate in his sport, that I needed to kind of change my ways. And I changed my ways so that I could participate in his sport.
One thing that we overlooked in the in-season tournament challenge, David Stiles on our team pointed that out, is that if you picked upsets, you gain more points. It was a weighted scale.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So if you're one of those people that picked Ty Dillon to beat Denny Hamlin, you get a lot more points in your favor than you would. And I really like that. So somebody out there is pick more upsets. I realized after I did my bracket, I thought, even before the big crash, I thought, I have too many favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
I have too many favorites. Because I did win an NCAA bracket purely for entertainment purposes one year.
Nice.
And it was by picking
upsets. How much did you win?
And that's bragging right
there. I was
right
just
there.
Entertained.
Oh, okay. I got you.
To the tune of $300. But anyway.
Nice.
That's nice.
Purely for recreational purposes. Let's do this.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
We must do it. It's the most beloved portion of the show right here. We read statements on this program. Our panel mulls over those statements. If they agree with the statement, they give it a green flag. If they disagree, it gets this black flag. Yeah. And if they're all in agreement, there you go. There you go. Here we go with Doug Rice first. Papa Doug, there are no more perfect brackets.
Green flag. Yep. With that big wreck, there's no hope that somebody's setting out there and went 16-0.
1,000% green flag. I mean, the only way you could maybe potentially do that is if you, like, somehow, and even then, I don't think you could, like, flipped a coin for each one. Like, you weren't picking with your heart. You were just random picking. I still think that that's impossible.
Flipping a coin's not a bad idea,
Brad. Yeah, no kidding.
Black flag, Denny's not in it. That's a perfect bracket, right? No, I'm kidding. No, green flag. There's no way anyone. There's no way anyone had that outcome at Echo Park Speedway.
We drew blood on that one. Okay, here we go. Let's go to Alexis on this. NASCAR needs at least one street course on the schedule every year.
Yeah, I say yes to that. I mean, I love diversification of anything, and diversification of race courses, I think, is a great thing. Bring it on. I'd even take maybe two, but at all least right. one for sure.
Brad, go to Disney World.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Green flag. I think it's really cool because of the festival-type atmosphere that it brings.
All right, Doug Rice.
Green flag. If you want to draw new folks, you got to give them a reason to come out. And yeah. that would do it. I think it worked in Chicago. Let's give it a shot somewhere else.
All right, Brad, we give you this one. NASCAR needs to decide on just one set of published points standings.
Oh, my gosh. Green flag. I'm sitting there looking at traditional points and seeing someone who's in 12th, and I hear someone talk about, oh, well, everyone from 14th on back, including that same driver. I'm going, wait a second, they're in 12th. Then I realized they were looking at what a current playoff simulation seeding bracket would be or point standings instead of traditional points. Just pick one. That's all. Or maybe list where they would be in playoffs on the side of the regular point standings. I think it adds a lot of confusion.
Doug Rice.
I agree 100% with what Brad Gilley just said. It's a mess, and I can't be the only one that feels that way.
Yeah, I mean, I agree also. I'm going to say green flag, but only if the one that they provide is the one where the math is already done, because I'm not doing that myself. I'm not doing
like
it in my
that.
Head. Not
and
doing
you're
it.
Smart and all that stuff.
Well, not in math, I'm not.
You could put a plus 25 or a minus 23 next to someone's name, but still list them as like 14th in the standings.
Oh, sure.
I got
like
a
that's
headache
okay.
just hearing that,
I
Brad.
Know.
No.
Well, but
numbers.
It's better than us
one
saying.
One ranking.
Yeah, someone's 10th. No, they're 16th. Wait, what?
Where do the points standings come from now? Where are they? Where are they generated?
You can click on two different versions, or at one time you could at NASCAR.com. I'm not sure.
I usually go to like one of the network X accounts, and they have the playoff rankings listed, and I look
Bob
at that.
Pocris.
By the people that are going to advance.
Just go to Bob. Yeah. Bob's got it all.
All right, this one's a fill in the blank. We start with Doug on this one.
Oh, fill in the blank.
He's qualified to answer it here.
Look at the concern.
My July 4th hot dog must contain blank.
Chili and onions.
Gotta have that.
Gotta have chili and
okay. What would you, now let me ask you a side question here. What would you leave off? Well, if it's missing blank, I wouldn't care.
Kraut.
Okay. Alexis.
Sauerkraut and brown mustard. That's what mine must have. Sauerkraut and spicy brown mustard.
Leave off the what?
Onions.
Okay.
Raw onions. Although I do like a chili dog too. So, I mean, I'm not dogging
no
your choice here.
No beans in that chili, though.
correct.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the correct way to have chili.
Okay. Okay, Brad?
Mustard.
Mustard.
Yes, and what I leave off? Ketchup. Because ketchup belongs on hamburgers, not hot dogs.
Ooh. Oh, we had that discussion here in the control room earlier. We did, because you can leave ketchup off a hot dog. And
don't tell my son
mustard.
That.
Can
it's
I say that,
yellow French's.
Can I say that that stand of no ketchup is rather dogmatic?
Ooh, you can.
I like
you
want
to be roundly booed.
I wouldn't suggest it, but you can say it.
Brother, this guy stinks!
Oh, boy.
All right, there's your green flag, black flag.
See, I'm a kraut with brats guy, not a kraut with...
Oh, no, I love sauerkraut and spicy. The spicier the mustard, the better. There's this horseradish brown mustard that I get from my local grocery store.
Oh, that sounds good, actually.
I'm liking that. Yeah. I'm liking that. And it opens up your sinuses.
It does,
at the same time.
Absolutely.
All right.
Dual purpose.
Yeah. That's kind of like Brad's racetrack that he's going to build.
Yeah.
It's going
right.
to be
multi-use.
We got to take a break. When we come back, one last thing.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Welcome to the land of the free, where we pledge allegiance to the flag, salute racing's rich history, and raise a drink to the new gladiators who dare take on the last great Coliseum. The Bass Pro Shops Night Race NASCAR Playoff Weekend returns to Bristol Motor Speedway September 11th through the 13th. Get a weekend package and a camping spot and make it a weekend to remember. It's not just a night race, it's Bristol, baby.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
Always a great deal of fun to get together here on Fast Talk. Alexis in studio, Brad Gilley coming to us from down Fort Worth way, and we try to summarize what happened. We are spending more and more time on these shows talking about the issues of the day and also looking forward, because by the time that this show is made available to you, you already know who won the race. That we can't rehash that forever and a day. Let's do this right now.
One last thing.
All right, Brad Gilley, what's on your mind?
You know, this is interesting. You talk to competitors in the garage a lot of times, or maybe you go do, public Q&As at the racetrack with the driver, whomever it might be, and the question inevitably comes up for them, what's your favorite track? There are a lot of them that say the next one, and I understand that because they're thinking this needs to be my favorite track today because I'm going to have to go out here and perform. Now, we talk amongst ourselves. What are our favorite places? We have a lot of great destinations that we get to go to, from New Hampshire to Sonoma, California, down to Atlanta and Charlotte and so many other places in between. But I think my fandom now is going to dictate that my favorite track is the next one. because everywhere we go right now, especially with this generation of race car, we have storylines that we are talking about for months and months and years and years. This past weekend at Echo Park Speedways was a great example of that. So my favorite track today is the street course at Chicago. Next week, it's going to be Sonoma, going to be Dover after that, and then Indy. That's just the way it goes, and I understand it now because we have such good racing right now.
It's a good way to look at it, for sure.
I love that.
My one last thing is, you know, don't listen to the naysayers. You're gonna have naysayers no matter what you do. One of the best people that I know, that all three of us know, that don't listen to the naysayers is Marcus Smith. How many times has he come up with an idea for our sport and people said, oh no, that won't work, you can't do that, the Roval at Charlotte, oh no, that's just going to be a parking lot, you can't do that, and it's produced fantastic racing for years and years and years. When he said he wanted to turn Atlanta into a mini super speedway, people were like, that's crazy, you can't do that, and he said, watch me. And now we're talking about that as some of the best racing that we have on the circuit right now. So hey, if you've got an idea out there that you're passionate about and you believe in, do not listen to the naysayers.
That's very good, because they will keep you in the Stone Age.
They will.
Because they don't want change. I'm going to go in the same direction as Brad, but slightly variant from that. I do have a new favorite racetrack, and it is Echo Park Speedway, the artist formerly known as Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
I've always felt like Daytona and Talladega were must-see TV. I would watch those races. There was no DVRing because of the anticipation. What we saw at Atlanta this weekend in the Cup race, take away the big crash if you want to, was compelling. A huge number of lead changes. The possibility for a real upset. And as a matter of fact, Chase Elliott winning after a 40-race losing streak, that's a bit of an upset. Mm-hmm. And the nature of how they race there, is why wouldn't you buy a ticket and go see that? And I have a new favorite racetrack, so congrats. By the way, I haven't been to it in person. Brad, you were there. It looked like the polish that they put on it in the transition from AMS to Echo Park Speedway made that place really pop.
Oh, my gosh. That's the one thing I was not expecting. Literally the facelift of what's now Echo Park Speedway, and painted in the Echo Park colors from what I'll call Dove Gray. I think it has a different name, the lighter gray to Echo Park Gray, which is the darker, to the lime green, the chartreuse, and the colors and all of that. It didn't look like a speedway that was painted. It looked like a brand new facility, and they did not miss a single detail. Whether it was the concession stands underneath the grandstands, all got a fresh coat of paint, to the signage for parking lots and different things like that, all had the new look. Everywhere you looked, you saw something that was new or looked new, and I was blown away at the job that they did, especially in the amount of time given to be able to do that. It was amazing. It is truly world class.
Well, congrats to all the folks that were responsible for that, and echoing back to what you just said. I do think that, you know, that's because of leadership from Marcus Smith. Let's quickly flash to Chicago this weekend. We're on the street course. We've had two races. Bowman won the one last year. SVG in year one. What are we thinking about, Alexis?
Oh, man. I don't know. This one, I think, is a bit of a toss-up. I want my Spidey sense to say SVG, but we've seen that with tracks that other drivers have had the chance to run on, he's not as, you know, as leaps and bounds above everybody else as he was at, say, Mexico and at Chicago when it first came out. So I'm still going to go SVG, but with like a little asterisk, maybe.
Brad Gilley.
All right, you ready for this? Ty Gibbs.
I'm not shocked by that. He was the one that we thought was going to be the only challenger for Shane potentially at Mexico. Things didn't go their way. But they had a really great car, a really great road course performance in Mexico City.
I'm not mad at that pick of Ty Gibbs,
I'm not
Brad.
Either.
That's big and bold there. I'm going to be dull, boring, and omnipresent, and Kyle Larson will win this one, the third and looks like final race on the street course at Chicago. For Kent Bernhardt, David Stiles, Harold Hamrick, Alexis Erickson, Brad Gilley, I'm Doug Rice. Join us back here next week for a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota.
For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.